The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, February 1st, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our show, and thanks to Cannabob out there for the fantastic new video intro. We are loving it. Join us here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, is our own co-host and engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, we're excited about the video, loving that, and just having a good time otherwise.
Got my new JDR hat.
Yeah, John Doe Radio in the house for Ganga John.
Ganga John.
We'll get that fixed, no problem. Also joining us on the telephone via Skype in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our news editor and co-host, Cannabis Carrie.
Nice. Does his hat say Ganga John?
It does. I fixed it, so it looks like a J, though.
It said Ganga.
Nice.
They're going to send me another one.
I like it.
So I could be Ganga John or Ganja John. Either way.
That's right. How you doing up there, Carrie?
Oh, I'm doing great. It looks like we're going to have some fantastic weather this weekend for Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if I'll be able to stay in and watch the game because it's going to be gorgeous and 65 here.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I want to thank you also for the pizza and wings you got for us for lunch yesterday.
That was... Those weren't even official wings after those ones Cousin Kenny got you the night before. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, they were nuclear hot. But what a nice birthday present. She got a post-delivered pizza for us to be after the show. That was so nice of you, Carrie. Hey, we got a great show coming up on today's show. We've got Electric Tuesday for our Daily Toker Tunes. So we're going to have a live call-in from Cannabis Cure UK. He's got some great music, Ganja Dub from Josh R. Joining us at half past, it's time for This Month in Normal, and we're going to be speaking with Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of Normal. He's going to give you his take on the answer to the Ask Obama question that was posed by the LEAP speaker we spoke to yesterday. He'll also tell you the latest on the Normal National Conference in Denver, Colorado, and your new, brand new opportunity to advertise on the main normal.org website coming up at half past the hour. And then at 45 past, we're going to take a look at medical marijuana laws under siege. I got a little bit of radical ranting to do on some stories that are percolating up out here in the West in the medical marijuana states. But before we get to all of that, we go to Cannabis Carrie and our hemp headlines. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to talk about spice, that fake marijuana wreaking havoc in some people's lives. Also, we're going to go to New Mexico to see where the new governor stands on their medical marijuana program. In Denver, they finally reached some compromise on growing facilities. And we're going to go to Montana, where they have been discussing a new Senate Bill 170. Terrible. We'll talk about that, too.
All right. We'll take a look at all that in our news coming up right after this break. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Stay tuned. Right after these messages, we'll get to the news and all the rest on Normal Show Live. In hour two, we've got Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls and talk about the news stories of the day. Be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey. In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies, for the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland is known for being a tough four-year university that educates officers for commission into the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps. Established back in 1845, no one could have known back then that the university would be the center of a spice drug ring. Spice is a chemical compound that is sprayed on herbal matter and marketed as a fake marijuana. Its legality in the U.S. is quickly changing, making it as illegal as its natural counterpart. Last week, the U.S. Naval Academy expelled seven midshipmen for possessing or using the substance, ending their hopes for a distinguished military career. The students were expelled on January 20th for violating the Navy's zero-tolerance policies. Unlike most colleges, the Naval Academy tested students randomly for drugs in their urine. That may be the reason that fake marijuana is popular on campus, as opposed to real marijuana that is popular on campuses in the rest of the country. States have been rushing to outlaw the substance that has only been in existence for about a decade and available to purchase at truck stops and some head shops in the last few years. In December, the DEA made five different compounds, often found in the synthetic compound, illegal using emergency powers, and that ban will be in place for a year while they work on more permanent measures to ban the substance. Spice has been officially banned by the U.S. Navy along with any other mood-altering substance, although they don't consider alcohol a mood-altering substance. The drug has not become popular on other college campuses, mainly because marijuana is typically readily available around most U.S. colleges. The allegation against the seven expelled students were brought by brigade leaders and other students. Drug violations are uncommon at the 4,000-student Naval Academy. Aside from the seven expelled students, only four others have been cited for offenses in the past year. The expelled students will most likely face discharge from the Navy, and they also might be on the hook for repaying the cost of their education, which is paid by the federal government. Although their names have not been released, a university spokesman said they are mostly juniors in the school, and all seven are male students. The investigation into what the university is calling the spice ring is still open and ongoing, hinting that other students might also be under investigation for using or possessing the banned substance.
Yeah, alcohol's not a mood-altering substance? Gee, I guess all those fights and those problems caused by alcohol must be people that are all in a good mood. That must be what's going on here. Once again, we see, again, as Carrie pointed out in the story, the prohibition on marijuana leading people to something that is more dangerous. In this case, spice, something that's untested and for which the potency is variable and people just don't know what they're getting in this situation. The random testing in Annapolis, of course, is leading these midshipmen to want to use spice. People like to relax. And when you're in the Naval Academy and when you're dealing with that kind of regimented discipline, you want some way to kick back and relax. Alcohol is not going to be a very good solution for that because of the hangover properties and the overdose properties that don't make you a very good officer when you're trying to get up early the next morning for that PT run. Let's let these midshipmen use natural effective cannabis instead of moving them over to spice. Trying to ban these things doesn't work, obviously. They want to get around it because it gets around the drug testing. And even if we come up with the drug test for that and we ban JWH-018 in the spice, there are over 400 plus synthetic cannabinoid analogs that can be created by tweaking a molecule here or there that'll work as agonists to the endocannabinoid system. So we're going to have the next one pop up, and then the next one will have to get banned, and the next one will pop up, and the next one will have to get banned. It'll be a never-ending sort of arms race here between the drug testers, the drug banners, and the drug users. Let's just get to the fact here that people like to use cannabis, and it's not that big of a deal.
New Mexico has recognized medical marijuana since 2007. The new Republican governor, Susana Martinez, who took office on January 1st, said during her campaign that the state medical marijuana law puts state employees in the position of violating federal law, and she would like to see the law repealed. She did say that her calendar is full for 2011, so repealing the law isn't a priority this year. The governor's nominee for health secretary, Dr. Catherine Torres, said that the program, quote, continues to function according to state law, unquote. The law sponsor, Democratic Senator Jerry Ortiz Epino, said that he hopes the new administration just leaves the law alone. Another top Republican from the state, Representative Bill Ream of Albuquerque, said he too would like to see the law repealed and says that there is a chance for that in the state house, but he doesn't think that the state Senate would vote for repeal of the state's medical marijuana law. So he said that he will not take on the issue this year. Ream voted against the state's medical marijuana law, citing that he thinks there are approved medications that can be used instead, and that getting the drug by smoking it is a crude method of medicating. He complains that the program has added too many qualifying conditions. When it passed, New Mexico's program only listed 7 approved conditions, including cancer, glaucoma, MS, epilepsy, and HIV/AIDS. The list is now expanded to 16 conditions, plus some people in hospice can also qualify. New Mexico doctors cannot prescribe medical marijuana, but they can certify that patients have one of the approved conditions and that standard treatment doesn't work for them. Patients then apply to the state and, if approved, receive a registry ID card and information on how to contact nonprofit growers licensed to supply medical marijuana. Some of the senators, like Republican Senator Rod Adair and Senate Republican Leader Stuart Engel, both said that they voted for the program but are troubled by the number of patients that have enrolled, saying that the growing number of patients are many times the estimate legislators were given when they passed the law. There are currently only 3,198 active medical marijuana patients in New Mexico, with nearly a third of them using medical cannabis for post-traumatic stress. About 440 people are using medical cannabis in the state for cancer. Both lawmakers thought that the program was intended to help with end-of-life pain and that the added qualifying conditions approved by the then-Health Secretary Alfredo Vigil went too far. Vigil said that he approved the additional conditions based on recommendation from the advisory board and scientific findings that those particular problems could be helped by medical cannabis. He points out that he dismissed adding 7 more conditioned recommendations from the program's medical advisory board in 2009 and again in 2010. Advocates for medical marijuana in New Mexico hope that Governor Martinez's calendar remains too full to make good on that one particular campaign promise.
Yeah, this folds in well with the rant I'm doing at the end of the show about state medical marijuana laws being under siege. And Governor Martinez here has never made a secret of the fact that she wants to repeal the state law. This excuse, though, that state employees are violating federal law is a lame excuse. This is the excuse that's been given by other governors, other opponents in other states. And every time it's gone up through the United States Supreme Court, which has decided that medical marijuana laws do not cause state employees to violate federal laws in the cases of issuing them ID cards or keeping registries, that does not put the state employees at risk. So that is just a smokescreen, if you'll pardon the pun. And then the line in there about one of the people saying, oh, there's other drugs, there's other treatments that could be used in place of medical marijuana. Let me give you some data. This is compiled by an excellent website out there called procon.org, P-R-O-C-O-N, procon.org. And the particular subdomain here is medicalmarijuana.procon.org. And they have a chart of 17 FDA-approved drugs that could be used in place of medical cannabis in the state of New Mexico and the other medical marijuana states, and the deaths that we have for each of one of those drugs. Now, we start with marijuana, also known as cannabis sativa, is the primary suspect in the death of zero people. Primary suspect, zero deaths. Now, a secondary suspect in 279 deaths, and this is where they say it contributes to the death. So, like, if you got stoned and you were so stumbling around, you ran in front of a train, marijuana contributed to your death, even though the marijuana didn't actually kill you. 279 deaths between January of 1997 and June of 2005. Now, let's compare that to antiemetics, things that you use to treat vomiting, like Compazine, Reglan, Zofran, Anzamet, Kitril and Tigan, 196 primary deaths, 429 secondary deaths, 625 total. Antispasmodics like Baclofen and Xanaflex, 118 deaths, 56 secondary deaths, 174 total. Antipsychotics like Haldol, lithium, Neurotonin, 1,593 deaths, 702 secondary deaths, 2,295 total. And other popular drugs used to treat ADD, depression, narcolepsy, erectile dysfunction, and pain, things like Ritalin, Wellbutrin, Adderall, Viagra and Vioxx, 8,101 deaths, 492 secondary, 8,593 total deaths. So if we total them all up, the total deaths from 97 to 2005 from marijuana, 279, and those just from secondary, not primary, zero deaths primary, and from 17 FDA-approved drugs that they'd use in place of marijuana, 10,000 primary deaths, 1,600 secondary deaths. Why does the governor of New Mexico want to kill people who just want to use medicine?
Officials in Denver met over the new regulations for the medical cannabis industry that resulted in at least one compromise. Denver City Council members reached a tentative compromise yesterday over what to do with medical marijuana growing facilities that aren't located where they're supposed to be. The city has established that there are as many as 50 growing facilities in areas that are not in compliance with the new zoning regulations. Some council members wanted those facilities to move, and others wanted them to be grandfathered in. The new compromise will allow the growing facilities that are not in compliance with the new rules to remain in place for up to 2 years, after which they will have to go to a public hearing to decide if they can continue to stay in place and out of compliance. The new plan wasn't even on the table at the beginning of the meeting, but both sides seem happy with the new rule. The compromise seemed to head off what was becoming a contentious fight between council members. Councilman Doug Linker was one of those that wasn't happy with the new rule. He says that it is wrong to put businesses in peril if they have followed all the rules when they were opening. He said that shutting a business down or potentially shutting it down in 2 years is unprecedented in Denver. Also on Monday, the council committee members approved regulations that would prohibit medical marijuana dispensaries from operating near drug treatment facilities. The dispensaries already within those areas would go through the same license renewal hearing process that the council approved for grow facilities in the wrong zoning. The regulations will still need final approval by the full council.
Yeah, once again, we have these situations where they're trying to over-regulate the system in Denver and in Colorado. We'll keep an eye on this and see how it turns out.
Montana's medical marijuana advocates are getting ready for a fight. A hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee was held yesterday to discuss Senate Bill 170 that was introduced by Senate Majority Leader Jeff Esman, a Republican from Billings. It would require a panel of three physicians who are experienced in pain management to review and then decide if a patient will be authorized to use medical marijuana for pain. The three physicians would approve or reject the patient's doctor recommendation to use medical marijuana. More than 20,000 Montanans use medical marijuana to combat severe or chronic pain, according to state health statistics. Senator Esman says that the pain classification is wide open and has allowed some physicians to be, quote, pretty loose in the awarding of their diagnosis without a full medical workup. Eastman's bill would change the definition of severe and chronic pain to, quote, severe, persistent, and intractable pain that is unrelieved by standard medical treatments or medications over a reasonable amount of time, unquote. The physician who recommends medical marijuana would be required to prepare a report demonstrating the patient has not responded to traditional forms of pain treatment. At that time, the report would go to the three-physician panel, which would have a teleconference to make the final decision. Eastman says that his bill is intended to shut down what he calls a traveling circus situation in Montana's medical marijuana program. Eastman was referring to the cannabis clinics that have used some of the out-of-state physicians in person or on a video call that recommends medical marijuana for their patients. One of SB 170's supporters, Mark Long, who was at the hearing representing the Montana Narcotics Officer Association, called the current medical marijuana program in the state a joke. Long told committee members that there was a need to close the loophole in the program so that people seeking drugs to get high or make a profit have a tougher time than they have right now. Long was the only one to testify for the bill. Candace Payne, representing the Rimrock Foundation of Billings that treats patients with addictions, told committee members that she is opposed to all bills except those that repeal the entire Montana Medical Marijuana Act, calling marijuana a gateway drug for many people. She told the committee that the entire act needs to be repealed. There were 16 Montana citizens who testified against the bill, and all but one of them were either medical marijuana patients or involved in the industry. All called the three-physician panel unnecessary and unaffordable to most patients. One of the patients testifying said that, quote, representatives are not qualified to make medical recommendations. You guys can't write the rules on pain. That is why we've got doctors. After listening to almost 20 people testify, the committee took no immediate action on the bill.
Well, yeah. It's 420, Russ.
Yeah, more of that medicine of last resort crap and a three-doctor panel to tell whether or not you deserve, whether your first doctor wasn't lying. We got to smoke this one out. We'll be back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, today we get a live call all the way from the UK with Cannabis Cure UK. How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Doing great. We got a new photo of you up at the on the webcam right now. I hope you like it.
I can't actually log into Stickam. It's not me, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll give you another look at it soon enough. What do we got in the tune for today?
We've got one called Ganga Dub. Last week, after I played that weird Indian kind of bang tune, a few people in the chat room were asking for something dub, and so I thought I'd find something dub for them. It's by a guy called Josh Rodriguez in Mansfield in the United States.
All right. This will be some great tunes for us here. And thanks so much, Cannabis Cure UK, for bringing it to us. It's Josh R. with Ganja Dub.
This is a special request. We don't want you to smoke genetically modified ganja. We want you to smoke the real thing. We want you to smoke the natural herb. Some call it marijuana, some call it sensimilia, some call it lamb's bread, and some people call it ganja. Smoke the natural herb. Some call it marijuana, some call it sensimilia, some call it lamb's bread, and some people call it ganja.
Ganja.
Check out the Daily Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Joined also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of the people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government. And from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal.
Oh, glad to have this segment here because I was just reading an article in High Times Online that made a point that I had yet to realize. Alan St. Pierre is not only Normal's executive director, he is the longest serving continual director in drug policy reform in America. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Russ.
That's kind of an interesting title to hold, interesting record to hold, longest serving drug policy reformer.
Well, I guess it means one of those terrible myths around cannabis users around amotivational syndrome we can finally put aside.
After 20 years, we can finally put it aside. Alan's doing the work of three men out there in Washington, D.C. All sorts of stuff I want to talk to you about today. And yesterday we had on the police officer, the former police officer, Mackenzie Allen, who's a great speaker with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And, of course, his question was asked of President Obama about ending the drug war, and then, of course, President Obama answered that question. And I was just wondering your take on the question itself and Mr. Obama's answer to it.
Well, one, in a blog post that I posted for Normal, we highlighted that specific video as a prime example of the kind of question that should be asked. And I think that probably helped give it some juice to put it over the top. But in doing so, that was sort of bittersweet, because in asking the larger question around drug legalization, for which there is very little public support and no public discussion around drug legalization, crack, meth, LSD, there's not much of a discussion of that in this country. However, there is a fervent, long, well-established discussion that has gone to the Supreme Court no less than a couple of times in this decade on the topic of marijuana legalization. And so ideally, from Normal's point of view, we would have liked to have seen the question honed in on marijuana legalization rather than on the entire topic of drug legalization. However, it's hard to imagine that having to pick amongst all the different questions asked, including the really good ones on marijuana, that I don't begrudge the White House staff and the YouTube staff for picking the one from LEAP, because and this is one of the reasons why Normal has always supported LEAP from the beginning. There's really no stronger voice in America than current and former police officers and law enforcement, criminal justice types who come out against the war on drugs or argue strongly for major reforms for which almost all of us uniformly support. So I'm real glad they got the chance to ask that question and that people know that LEAP exists. But it, for the purposes of Mr. Obama, real easy one to knock down in that you don't really have to go too far out on a limb to say that you're against drug legalization.
Yeah, and then of course Mr. Obama's answer is couched in all sorts of buzzwords like treatment and rehab and public health issue. And as I pointed out to Mac yesterday on the show, it's easy to say public health issue when you're talking about drugs. It's harder to say public health issue when 15 states are using marijuana to solve their public health issues. Isn't it two separate questions, legalization of drugs versus legalization of cannabis?
It is in my mind entirely, and while I've mixed it up with many, many folks over many years over whether or not those really are two separate subject matters, I would just suggest to everybody listening, no one who's listening to me is going to live long enough to see the United States Congress pass bills and have a president sign them that will, in the conventional sense of the word, legalize and tax cocaine at the retail level, or heroin, or methamphetamines. That simply isn't going to happen. And for many, many reasons that we could go into dissertation-length discussion around today, culture, economics, pharmacology, but in the end, call me a populist, a Will Rogers type, there is almost no public support in this country to legalize hard drugs. We know, statistically speaking, there's about 45% of the public who wants to see marijuana legalized. We know that the soft reforms around marijuana reform, which are medical marijuana and decriminalization, are supported in the 73 to 75 percentile. And we've seen polling in the last 6 months from California and most recently Colorado that suggested that there are number of states where it will consistently poll around 50% when the public is asked in the abstract, not to vote, but in the abstract in a poll, do you believe in marijuana legalization? These numbers drop well below 5% when the discussion goes around to should we legalize heroin.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal and the Normal Foundation in Washington, D.C. And a devil's advocate point on this, and something that was brought up in my discussions with Mac yesterday, is the idea that questions that were only about marijuana might have been easier for the president to smack down as, oh, stoners just want to get high. And since the hard drugs seem to have more of a detrimental effect, and cannabis isn't really that detrimental, that it might be easier for him to go to the public health issue on the other drugs. What about that notion that the reason that there's so many questions and such popularity on these online forums is just because stoners want to get high and get it legalized for themselves?
Well, I just think it speaks to the fact, just looking at some raw numbers here, from the government surveys for what those are worth, again, one can go into a long discussion about how we even survey people around their drug use, but just taking it at face value, there are probably 30 to 40 million cannabis consumers in the United States today. We could break that down into one out of three people between the ages of 15 and 25. We could say one out of eight people in the entire United States, which is a lot of people. And the fact that so many of them have been victimized and demonized for so long, that when given an opportunity to ask in a very plaintive way, why is this illegal? Why shouldn't we reform these laws? This ought to be, and I always, with a certain amount of gallows humor and chuckle, think about politicians who want to run from a dog catcher all the way to president in this country. You've got to answer the questions around marijuana legalization, and conflating marijuana legalization and use with hard drugs has been the easy way out for these politicians for years and years to give anybody who's ever watched me on C-SPAN or on CNN debating folks, watch how quickly the opposition conflates marijuana with all the other drugs, because they know separated from the other drugs, they cannot win the issue. So when these online polls come in mass like they do, third time out for Mr. Obama, you just have to know whenever they do these things, the whole staff must start rolling their eyes going, oh my God, we're going to get another one of these marijuana or drug-related questions. And, well, he should, because this is not pimple-faced teenagers sitting at their computers, typing in 20 different replies. This clearly represents a mass spectrum in this country. When one goes to a normal conference and is standing there amongst 500-600 people and sees people between 85 years old and 18 years old, one recognizes how much this cuts across all strata in this country.
This just in from the Department of Segways. That was perfect, because I wanted to ask you about normal national conference and any new information people need to know if they want to plan for going to that event.
Yes, we do have the Save the Date up, which is April 21st through the 23rd. And the next 2 days, I expect, meaning certainly no later than this Friday, we should have all the room reservation up so people can get these really discounted rooms. I just went up online and checked the rack rate at the hotel, and it looks like we're talking about $300 to $350. But if using the normal discount rate, one can come in about $129 for a basically four-star hotel right in downtown Denver. We should have the agenda up not too far after. We have some really, really great names and speakers that we've already spoken to. The only name I can confirm today on the show with you is Dr. Lester Grinspoon, who is probably the most famous physician who has ever researched and written and lectured about marijuana. He spoke a couple years ago at the Normal Conference from Skype, thanks to your help, Russ. But ultimately, we've all really looked forward to the day that his health is good enough to join us. And since his son, David, a prominent astrophysicist, that he is living in Denver, and it gives us a great opportunity to have Lester there with us. And in a couple of days, and certainly here on the show, I'm sure we'll highlight some of the folks that have been invited, and if they say yes, we'll be keen to promote them ASAP.
Oh, that'll be so great to have Dr. Grinspoon there in person. I'm glad his health has improved. One last topic here before we let you go, Alan, is Normal's front page, of course, is the most trafficked marijuana law reform website on the internet and one of the most popular marijuana sites, period, on the internet, but it's up until this time never accepted any sort of advertising. That has changed. Tell folks about advertising on normal.org.
This is true. This past week, we put up two different ways for people to, or two ads, and blogads.com is servicing these ads for anybody that has a business related to cannabis, lawyering, doctors, testing centers, just about anything under the sun that has to do with cannabis or anything related to an audience that one believes the normal web page attracts. We now have front page ads that cascade across our other most popular pages. And this is the first time that the organization is opening itself up for this direct degree of advertising as a way to fund the organization. And the board of directors approved this in a meeting in November and took a couple of months to pull it together. We expect there will be other variations of advertising as Normal is working, and the entire staff is working on Normal's 4.0 webpage, the fourth edition of Normal's webpage, which started in 1993, will be coming out, we hope, if we really are astute by the April 20th conference. And if we can't make that date, then the backup date is May 1st, and we would like to launch the site at that point. And it will be a highly integrated web page, but in the interim, anybody who wants to advertise on Normal's webpage, reach this incredibly large audience of dedicated, well-informed cannabis consumers and supporters and lovers of liberty, this is the first time that this has been unveiled.
Mm-hmm. And just foreshadowing a little for the listeners and the longtime viewers of this show, there will be special spots on the Normal 4.0 webpage for Normal Show Live. So this will be a really cool integrated experience for everyone. We're all looking forward to it. Alan St. Pierre is the Executive Director of Normal and the Normal Foundation in Washington, D.C., the nation's longest-serving continuous executive director in drug policy reform. Normal's head-to-head, they called you. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me, hear me, hear me, say,
free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Oh boy, we got 15 medical marijuana states here in these wonderful United States of America, and a lot of times people in those states get kind of complacent. They get this feeling like, wow, you know, now I'm legal. Now I've got my medical marijuana card, I'm legal. Well, folks, you're not as legal as you think, and those medical marijuana laws are increasingly under siege all throughout this country. We did the story earlier in the news today about the governor in New Mexico, the new governor there, Governor Martinez, who wants just to outright repeal the medical marijuana law. And then I had this story that I was composing on the blog. We told you the story on Monday of Senator Mark Leno in California introducing the bill to protect medical marijuana patients' workplace rights so that they couldn't be discriminated against by drug testing for employment or, you know, for preferential treatment or anything like that. These kind of fixes are necessary because there's companies out there right now whose sole job is to try to figure out how to fire medical marijuana patients. Now, in the state of California, the Ross v. Raging Wire decision declared that that was possible, that that was okay to fire and discriminate against patients. In Oregon, the Washburn v. Columbia Forest Products case, again, legal to discriminate against medical marijuana patients. So you're not as legal as you think. And let me tell you about this organization dedicated to firing sick and disabled people. It's called the Drug and Alcohol Testing Industry Association, or DATIA, D-A-T-I-A, DATIA. Drug and Alcohol Testing Industry Association only has our best interests at heart, of course, not the sales of pee tests or anything like that, right? Just our best interests at heart. And now they're offering a seminar, a webinar, if you will, a web seminar on how to properly put sick and disabled people out of work and onto the streets. This comes from the website of Occupational Health and Safety. The Drug and Alcohol Testing Industry Association will begin its 2011 webinars on February 9th with a presentation that will be of interest to safety managers and CEOs from Maine to Hawaii. Those two are among 15 states, plus the District of Columbia, that have medical marijuana laws in force. The February 9 webinar by lawyer David G. Evans is entitled State medical marijuana laws, the potholes in the road for drug-free workplace programs. Potholes. Get it? Yeah. See, the pot pun headline? The pot pun headline is like honey to the Pooh Bear. It's just irresistible to the prohibitionists. They just can't shake it. So what will you learn in this live webcast that by the way, only costs you $49 to view? You know, we give you our webcast live every day for free, but $49 if you want to learn how to fire medical marijuana patients. According to the Datia website, quote, medical marijuana laws are becoming more common. Currently, 15 states and the District of Columbia have medical marijuana laws. While marijuana is still a federally banned drug per the Controlled Substances Act, these state laws are increasingly wreaking havoc for drug-free workplace programs. What, if any, changes do employers need to make to their policies to address medical marijuana? What, if any, actions can employers take against employees with medical marijuana cards that test positive for marijuana? These and many more questions regarding medical marijuana and its effect on drug-free workplace programs will be answered in the timely presentation. Okay, you want to know what the havoc is that's being wreaked here? When a medical marijuana patient has a job, it destroys any rationale for P-testing a healthy person for pot to get and keep a job. How do you justify firing Bobby Bong Hitter for peeing dirty after a weekend party, but not firing PD patient for peeing dirty on his glaucoma treatment, right? It's the same marijuana. It's the same guys working in the same workplace. But for one, you got to fire him because he's, what, too healthy? You can't fire the other guy because he's too sick? The fact is, neither Bobby nor PD nor anyone who uses cannabis is a danger to any workplace. You know, these arguments come up and they can never show us any data showing that cannabis consumers are any sort of credible workplace safety threat. In Oregon, when they pulled this crap at the legislature, we confronted them and asked them, all right, where's your data? Show us the data of workplace safety. Name the one case where a medical marijuana patient's off-site, off-hours work use of his medicine led to a workplace incident of safety or fatality or injury. Zero. They admitted they could not come up with a single incident where off-hours use of medical marijuana led to any sort of problem. Now, people like this David G. Evans and Dadia, however, they're more than willing to see all patients unjustly denied a right to work than to give up the cash cow of workplace pee tests for healthy people, because they are well aware of the fact that far more people use cannabis and it's detectable far longer than all the other illicit drugs combined. Drug testing for all drugs other than cannabis would result in very few positive results, so few that it would be really hard to justify its expense to any company. Drug testing for marijuana is the cash cow of the drug testing, prison, drug court, drug rehab, industrial complex, if you want to call it that. Oh, and by the way, in case that guy's name, David G. Evans, sounds familiar to you, it's because he's the director of the Drug Free America Foundation, or as I like to call it, the Drug Companies Free from the Competition with Cannabis in America Foundation. You might remember him. He had a couple debates on CBS News between himself and Judge James Gray during the Prop 19 campaign. There's also an appearance on CNN. I've got the video of that. You can look it up at our blog at stash.normal.org. But this Dadia company, these Dadia organization, their whole job here is to try to tell employers and human resource directors how to properly fire medical marijuana patients so they don't get the pantsuit off them. It's disgusting. They're talking about what's going to be the effect on the drug-free workplace program. What's going to be the effect on these sick and disabled people who lose their income? What, we want more sick and disabled people homeless out on the streets? That's the goal here of all this drug testing here? Look, if they are working as 75% or more of all cannabis consumers do work, do have full-time jobs, if they're working and they're not causing a problem, there's no need to be firing them. If they're using cannabis medically and they're not using it at the workplace and they're not causing any problems at the workplace, then what is the problem you're trying to solve? Well, the problem you're trying to solve here is you don't like marijuana, you don't like its user, and you want to be free to discriminate against them. In another case here, we got a story that we wrote up on the blog, Cannabob put this one up, of the Arizona representative talking about taxing medical marijuana at 300%. Yeah, causing the cost of marijuana to go up three times than its regular cost here. 300% tax. This is the kind of threats that we've got to the medical marijuana laws in all of these states. And most recently, I'm working on a story about Montana. In Montana, their drug court coordinator for the state has created this essay full of lies about medical marijuana that's circulating amongst the Republican legislators. John Masterson of Montana Normal turned me on to this, and I'm writing this up. It's not ready yet, but you'll see most of it up at the blog. I'll give you some of the highlights of this, some of the stuff they're saying, some of the stuff that the Republicans are believing in Montana in this essay that's called Why Montana's Medical Marijuana Law Should Be Repealed. Montana voters did not vote for the increased crime that has accompanied medical marijuana. Considerable crime has accompanied the legalization of medical marijuana. Really? Well, then Montana must be a whole lot different than California and Colorado, which have, let's see, far more patients and much more dispensaries. The sheriffs there, we have one story, the sheriff in L.A. County who surveyed the situation amongst their 1,000 dispensaries that they had and found no greater crime numbers amongst dispensaries than any other business. We got sheriffs in Colorado who did the same thing, found no greater increase in crime in the marijuana-related businesses. The essay goes on to say, the risk of criminal involvement is determined to be between 1.5 and 3 times greater for cannabis users than non-users. We certainly have had our crime wave in Montana. What a bunch of junk stat that is. Being involved with cannabis is criminal if you're not a legal patient. That people involved with cannabis have 3 times more criminal involvement? Yeah, because they're busted with cannabis. Jeez, if you want to see a causal relationship between substance use and crime, take a look at alcohol. Take a look at those stats. Furthermore, this Andrew Paul, deputy Missouri County attorney, is saying that most caregivers do not abide by the law. Many caregivers are going over their limit with anywhere from a dozen to 100 more plants than they legally can have. Every single search warrant, they've had more than their limit. Really? So let's see. If you're getting a search warrant for a registered caregiver, you're doing so because they think they're over the limit. Doesn't it seem that way? You wouldn't be getting search warrants for guys that are growing one plant, would you? What a bunch of junk stats these are. And then the middle of this essay goes on about Jason Crist, the director of the Montana Caregivers Network. We've reported on him, the guy with the roving medical marijuana caravan, the guy doing video Skype exams who signed, you know, thousands of patients in a day, that guy. Here's a case of one bad apple spoiling the whole bunch. And on top of it, the guy's got an unstable personality. He's cited for disorderly conduct. He's doing all sorts of crazy stuff out there. This is a really, really bad situation in Montana where one guy here and his greedy operations and flouting the law here is going to bring this medical marijuana law down for the entire state of Montana. But let me get to some other junk stats here in this thing. Montana voters did not vote to have nearly 10% of parolees and probationers using and carrying medical marijuana cards. More than 9% of Montanans on probation and parole, including those arrested for drug offenses, carry registered medical marijuana cards. Well, first of all, how many probationers and parolees have medical prescriptions for oxycodone? We don't seem to be too concerned about that. And did it occur to you that maybe the reason they got in trouble with the law for the first place was that they were using medical marijuana before it was legal? I mean, how cruel is that, that you think a guy who's imprisoned for treating his illness illegally with cannabis should not be able to treat his illness with cannabis when it's legal because it was illegal when he first tried it? That makes no sense whatsoever. There is more of this junk science, and you can get the complete debunk at our blog, stash.normal.org. This and all the stories we cover in the hemp headlines, and plus many more graphs and charts, and we've got downloads of sound, all of the Toker tunes that you got on the show, videos. You got to check it out. Stash.normal.org, the Stash blog, your home for the Normal Daily Audio Stash, Normal Show Live, and all the videos of these radical rants that you can get the embed code for and paste on your own website. Spread the growing truth about cannabis, my minions. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry and the Normal Foundation. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Hour 2 live Toker Talk Radio. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.